Well, good Monday morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name's Nancy C. and I'm your moderator. I am a compulsive overeater recovered for today. And today is Monday, the 9th of June. Today we're reading from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 102, the second full paragraph. And today's readers, and I thank everyone for Team Monday service, we have Nadia B. is reading the text, Nancy P. is reading page 164, and Kathy S. is our backup. Working the steps today is Karen W., and the traditions Julie R., and our newcomer greeter is Vanita L., and Karen K. is our second hour host. And the reference number for yesterday's special edition, Sunday, June 8th, 2025, is 22,005. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Karen W. to please read the 12 steps for us. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning. This is Karen W., compulsive overeater from Katy, Texas. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to be of service, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen W. And reading the 12 traditions is Julie R. Julie, please share with us.
Hi, Julie R., recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional. but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain a personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you, Julie R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 102, the second full paragraph, and I'm going to ask Nadia B. to please get us going this morning. Good morning, Nadia.
Good morning, Nancy. Thank you for your service. Nadia B. here, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Connecticut. Your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others, so never hesitate to go anywhere if you can be helpful. You should not hesitate to visit the most sordid spot on earth on such an errand. Keep on the firing line of life with this motive, and God will help you unharmed. Love this paragraph. My job now, gives me purpose. Before recovery in my disease, what it was like was curtains closed, TV on loud, so I can't hear myself, hands in boxes, balls, bags in my throat, in the bathroom, with shower going, so nobody, even me, can hear myself puking. So how I figured out it was not God's will for me, or it wasn't my job, because it wasn't life, it was just pain, suffering. My God, or God of my understanding, would not want me to be there. What God would have me be today, and my understanding, and what this text suggests, or suggests is probably not the word. What is the must for those who have been saved from this deadly condition that I have? What is my purpose is to be of maximum service to God and people around me. And yes, firing line of life. I was listening on Friday, and someone said that, our purpose is to live life and not hide from life. And I didn't know how to do that. I really didn't. And this program has taught me how to be of maximum service to my family, how to be of maximum service to you guys, because I never know where God would present me with the gift of service. And as long as my motives are those of, to be of service, it says here, do not hesitate to visit most sordid spots on such errand. So if I'm not going there to get drunk or just for food, I need to be there. I need to not be afraid. And what is the opposite? Because I am afraid of life sometimes. The opposite of fear is faith. So I faithfully go to that restaurant where my husband and the kids want to go. I faithfully go and meet my friend wherever my friend wants to go, because I think that's, that's living life. Life is beautiful and presents me with a lot of, I would say, challenges for me because, again, I am not the most outgoing person out there, but this teaches me to live my life, and it is my job to live life. So I am very grateful to be on the firing line with all of you guys and learning every day how to be of service, to maximum service. You know, it doesn't just say to be of service, of maximum service to God, which means for me to be there for the loved ones and the ones that I don't know where God would, who God would present me with. And so I go and trust God. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nadia B., for getting us going. So now I'm going to take a list of people who want to share on this paragraph. Just as a reminder that if you shared on Thursday or Friday at any Vision for You meeting, we ask that you step back so that other people have an opportunity to share. So who would like to share this morning?
Lisa B., in South Carolina.
Lisa B.,
Elena
Luna,
C.
Carolyn
Carolina.
F., Okay, so far I've got Lisa B., Elena C., and Carolyn S. Who else wants to join in this first list?
Claire E. from the UK.
Claire, good morning, Claire E. All right, well, we'll start with this list. I'm sure that'll get everyone's thought process going. It's a Monday morning. So let's start off with Lisa B. Lisa, you have the floor.
Good morning, Nancy. My name is Lisa B. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and I'm in South Carolina. And thank you, Nadia, for the beautiful lead. It's a good feeling to have a job and to have something to carry and to be able to bring to another. And I was thinking about the bedevilment on page 52. And just, you know, before going through the 11 steps in a state of abstinence, it was very difficult to be useful. I was only thinking of myself, but I didn't know that that's what I was doing, you know. And this book is so clear on thinking of others and getting out of self, but that's just not a natural state for me. I really had to have a transformation. I really had to have a major personality change, and it's through the action steps of these first 11 steps that happened for me. And I think about the ninth step promises that are there, you know, to be able to be useful. And, you know, keeping this motive of helpfulness, God will keep me safe and protected, but I don't always know really how to be helpful. Sometimes I'm unable to be of maximum usefulness, and the best thing for me to do is to step off and to step out. And my ego, you know, it can become distorted, and instead I turn inward, and I can make everything about me, and then I'm in that horrible, painful place again. But, you know, I am at my happiest when I'm thinking of others. That's the best place for me. I feel like I am at my best when I am able to be useful, but it really comes through God's power. And when I'm in my world serving myself, I'm not in a good place. I'm uncomfortable. But when I'm in God's world, connected to the world of the Spirit, as I practice this program, I'm free. Like, I'm free, and I'm not in that bondage of self. And as I said in the beginning, it's just a good feeling to have a job, to have a purpose, and to be able to share hope, experience, and strength. You know, being in the food and always thinking about, did I eat too much? Am I eating enough? And, you know, what about this? What about? It was a constant chatter in my head, and I wasn't able to be in the moment. But today, to be in the moment, and to be able to bear fruit of this program, it's such a gift. Abstinence, recovery, the spiritual awakening, usefulness, all of it. It's wonderful. And for the last 9 years, by God's grace, I've been doing it. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Lisa B. from South Carolina. And next up, from South Carolina as well, is Lena C. Lena, you have the floor.
That's great. That's exactly right. South Carolina, way to go. Hoo-hoo. My name is Lena C. from South Carolina, recovered by the grace of God today, one day at a time. And I just love this paragraph. And I hear 12 step, the 12 step. And, you know, I just dawned to me that every single time when I go somewhere, I can ask God for guidance of how I can be of maximum service to others. How can I be helpful to others? And if I go over there and I talk about myself, like blah, 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 which, you know, like I'm a talker. For those who know me, I like to talk. And that's not it. Like, I think that the gift of listening and hearing other people, and, you know, one of my sponsors in Al-Anon told me that, Elena, when you listen to others, you are connected with their higher power. There's something spiritual that is happening, and it's true for me. There's something spiritual that happens in that connection. The art of listening and understanding what the other people are saying is one of the things that I could do. You know, like I was there, you know, mingling with the crowd, but just talking about myself and my way and my ideas and blah, 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 and thinking about food and then going and eating. I mean, gosh, I was suffering. I was suffering. You know, and it says keep on the firing line of life. Like, you know, today I need to embrace this firing line of life. I need to ask God help me to embrace these challenges of life, because there's a gift in it. And help me, God, to see the gift in these challenges of life, because there is one. And interesting enough, I think in the challenges of life, there's a gift of helping others. And when I do that, my self-worth is going, my self-esteem is increasing, because it's just really, really good to be of service to others. That's how my self-esteem has been increasing ever since I became this, embrace the spirituality of the 12 steps. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Elena C. from South Carolina. And next up, we have Carolyn S. Carolyn, please tell us where you're calling from, and you have the floor.
Hi, I'm Carolyn S. as in Sam, and I'm located in New York. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. So grateful to be recovered today. Great stuff in this paragraph. I swear, in every paragraph of this book. Your job now, excuse me, is to be at the place where you can be of maximum helpfulness to others. And maximum, it stands out for me. It's like, yes, I can help others, but am I making as big an effort as I could? Like right now I have an opening for a sponsee, and I've been kind of half-heartedly putting my name out there because part of me is selfish and wants that time, you know, for myself. But I belong, or I have an obligation and responsibility to go out there and help others the way that I've been helped. And it feels good to know that I'm contributing to life and not hiding from it. For years I hid. So I'm a human being. I'm fallible. But when I focus my attention outward, I can feel God's love and approval. There's a warmth in my chest when I focus and I say, okay, God, you know, please let me feel you. And I do. He's always there, whether I am conscious of it or not. And today I have a new job. I love working with others, which is true outside of program as well. And I do my best to perform small acts of kindness throughout my day, like bringing the shopping cart back to the grocery store versus leaving it in the parking lot where it might run into another car. And the concept of sunk costs, which is kind of a business term, it's like you already spent it, you're not getting that money back, just forget about it. Decisions going forward, aren't based on that. And when I put that viewpoint in my life, it amazes me how much I spend thinking about the past and the future. What didn't go my way in the past, what might not go my way in the future, you know, catastrophizing, like I'm going to be homeless, you know, very unlikely. But when I focus on today, it's like, well, what can I do today to be as close as possible to my higher power? How can I fulfill for today my job as given to me by God of being of maximum usefulness? And when I turn my attention outward, instead of focusing on, you know, me and what I want, there is a lightness of being that is indescribably wonderful, as they say in the big book, indescribably wonderful. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Carolyn S. from New York. And before Claire E. from the UK gets on, let me remind everyone, if you got on late, we're on page 102 of the big book. We're in the second full paragraph, starting with your job now is to be at a place, at the place. And we'll be taking another lineup after we hear from Claire. Claire, you have the floor.
Thank you, Nancy, and thank you to everybody who shared and done service for this meeting. My name is Claire E. I'm a recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in the UK. When I put myself forward to share, I thought I don't really have a lot to say on this paragraph. I just wanted to be part of the meeting. But the more I look at it, the more it's coming to me. And thank you for the people who share. First bit, so your job is now to be at the place. And I'm thinking, I'm not sure that's necessarily just a physical place, but a metaphorical place, you know, a place in myself, in my recovery, where I'm actually willing and have the motive of being of maximum helpfulness to others. That's my job, is to make myself ready, open, willing to receive, you know, sort of guidance, I guess, from my higher power about where am I supposed to be of maximum helpfulness. And I'm reminded of the 12 step and this part of the big book where it talks really about working with people who aren't necessarily alcoholics. You know, this is talking about social occasions and sort of going out. And I think step 12 originally said, you know, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps, you know, to try to carry this message, you know, to others, especially alcoholics. So, you know, I'm reminded that I'm not just carrying the message, I am the message. You know, when I'm out there being a recovered compulsive eater, I'm carrying a message of OA sort of subliminally, whether I'm talking about OA or whether I'm not. So, you know, my job is to try and make myself into a good representative. But that is, you know, the metaphorical place and also the physical place. And I do actually ask my higher power. I quite frequently have choices of, do I do this or do I do that? Do I spend time with my kids? Do I take another sponsor? You know, where am I putting my time and my energy? And sometimes I really feel my maximum usefulness is to spend time and be present with my children or my husband or my garden or, you know, something that isn't necessarily being on the phone or a meeting. Or with patients, I work, you know, I'm very lucky to have a job where I can be of helpfulness to other people in within my job. So, you know, that's my job, is to work out, you know, where I can be most helpful. And it talks about motives, doesn't it? Keeping on the firing line of life with these motives. This is what motivates me. It's got to be what motivates me. I had a wedding this weekend and I went to a wedding and we were only going to the evening do. So food actually wasn't an issue at all because I'd eaten before I went. But I honestly, everyone else was definitely had a few drinks. And I was not in the place of being any maximum helpfulness. And you know, program in action, I suppose, really, is I went and sat in the bathroom, got on my phone, texted a few fellows, did my evening review and texted my sponsor, took a deep breath and then went out and tried. And I've heard this in a podcast from one of our fellows in Vision. He's tried to find the person I'm supposed to help at that party. And I don't think I did, really. I don't think I found the person. Maybe it was my husband letting him stay a bit longer and not being miserable and making him go home. But that was the motive. It's the pause I need to challenge my motive and go out there with the attitude of trying to be of help, of both of use and
reminder.
You know, sort of someone that's just decent to be around. And I will leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you, Claire E. from the UK. We're ready to take a list of other people who want to share on this topic. We're on page 102 in the big book, the second full paragraph. Who would like to share?
Leia S.
Christine, North Carolina.
I got Leia
Kelly
S.
H.
I got
Kelly
somebody
H.
from
North
Carolina.
Carolina.
Okay.
Kelly H.
Kelly H. is from North Carolina.
That was me.
Nancy. Christina J.
Christina J. Got you.
Anne Marie N.
Marianne H. from New Jersey.
Marianne H. All right, so far I've got Leah S., Kelly H., Christina J., Anne Marie, Maria, Marianne H. Who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Stephanie R.
Stephanie R. All right, well, let's go with this list. We're going to have Leah S. followed by Kelly H. Leah, please tell us where you're calling from, and you have the floor.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S., and I'm recovered, so grateful, in Brooklyn, New York. So they're not telling you, really, this is what you have to do, this is what you have to do, like, you know, otherwise, yeah. But the truth is, they're giving me a suggestion. If I go out there and I tell others about my recovery, what I have gone through, my own pain, my own insecurity, my own assumptions that I had, and my own experiences, maybe you can identify with that. Maybe you also have such predicaments. Maybe you have such triumphs or challenges, whatever they are. So I will never forget, I went to a place where I went to a wedding, and I was totally unprepared for that hotel to prepare such a lavish meal and such a smorgasbord. Oh my God, it really hit me. And I was in a good place. My goodness, I had my own food. I was in a different country and I had my own food. And I picked up that phone and I said, they're going to have the meal now and I can't sit there. I can't. I got to go outside on the veranda that they have over in this hotel. And I told the fellow, and this fellow tells me, guess what? Talk about a spiritual experience. I live not far from this hotel. I'm going to drive over, but don't mind me. I'm only in my jeans and my overtime. I said, I don't mind you. You're going to be with me while I eat my meal? And she goes, of course I'll keep you company. And we had a mini meeting. And we finished by the time they finished inside the hall. It was so remarkable. God gives you ideas. And this program has saved so many times, not only my abstinence, but my sanity as well. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. from New York. And next up, we start with the Carolinas here. We got Kelly H. from North Carolina. Kelly, you have the floor.
Hey, good morning. This is Kelly H., North Carolina, compulsive overeater, and coming back into program. And I'm grateful. This is the first vision meeting I've been to probably in about 4 months. And such a great reminder. Part of what fed this episode of desperation to get back into program was recognizing a fear, a hidden fear that I've been having that hasn't quite taken me all the way through the 12 steps and previous encounters. And it's a fear of working with others in program. I'm somebody who has had a profession, and I've been a parent and certainly a wife. And so I've had the jobs and the roles in my life of being there in the support role. But of course, in this program, you know, much of food issues have challenged me because I isolate and I stay up late and I'm good with saying the quick thing, but not the deep thing when there's opportunities to work with others. And in recovery work, I often, even when I've been sponsoring, just always felt like I there's going to be a conflict and I'm going to have to know how to handle it. And I don't want there to be conflict. This is the hardest area in my life. And again, it's like defaulting to my power, trying to always anticipate and kind of feeling the fears and character defects are rearing their ugly heads once again, and then failure. So in my own experience, those are the kind of the things. And so that kind of speaks to a lack of inventory, fear, and maybe just kind of sitting in my desperation a little bit and realizing, where is that coming from? In this go around, my desperation, I was able to see all the stop signs I've been placing all over the crazy intersections of my recovery, and keeping me from serving others in this program has really been an issue of fear. So I'm grateful because I'm seeing those things and I can start to inventory those things, maybe think about an Al-Anon, you know, program. But aside from all that, I'm so grateful for this paragraph and that this was my ticket back in. So thanks for all the shares today. With that, I'll pass.
Hey, thank you, Kelly H. Glad you're here. And next up, we have Christina J. in North Carolina. Christina, please share with us.
Nancy, good to hear you, Nancy. God, what can I say that hasn't been said? And also, my ego says, what can I say that's so profound and astounding and will help someone? Well, you know, this body, this life is a precious gift. And I've abused myself with so much food. And I've abused myself with so much fear. And I have, but I haven't. I have a disease. And I have a disease of the soul. I have an allergy. And I have projections that I've given to other people and projections that have been put on me. And I have validation issues. And I have all kinds of things right in the way of pure self, of the pure God within me, the pure desire to help others. I can never get to the pure desire to have other, help others until I heal myself. And it's not me healing myself. It's me taking the actions and the steps to get to where I really want to help someone. What else is there in life? You know, if I stay involved in trinkets and fancy cars and fancy clothes and skinny pants and all this stuff, I'm missing the whole point. The beauty comes from within. The shining beauty of a precious soul that has unveiled itself and can help others. And people are attracted to that. Or maybe they're not because they're dull too. They haven't reached the point of desperation. It takes the journey. You have to take the journey for yourself. This program, just reading it and listening, it's not going to give it to you. You can get a lot of knowledge. You can say, oh, wow, this is going to be so cool. But you got to sit down and do the work. I remember when I wanted to be a big star. You know, I had to sit down and write songs, and I'd sit down and do all these things arduously. A lot of people have dreams. They can't get to them because they don't do the work. And, you know, so we have an ego that says, I don't want to do this, too hard. I don't want to measure my food. I don't want to call my sponsor. I don't want to call people. Unless you do those things, clear out that vat of self that lies in the way of your precious self, the God within you. You're never going to get to the point where you want to help anyone. I thought I always wanted to help people, but I was deep in the food, and I was isolating so much, and I would hide, embarrassed and ashamed. And then I was pissy because I hated myself. Are you sitting in desperation today? Are you sitting in that pain? You know, I have a niece right now, and she put down the drugs, but she said, I'm in the food. I can't stop. You know, I can't help her. I told her about the meeting. All I can do. Let God handle the rest, because God does handle the rest. We don't. We're like of service to others, right? We want to be of service. Finally, we reach that point. It's the God within us that wants to be of the service. And we have to step out of the way continually and let that higher power, whatever you want to call it, love, that thing, if you don't believe in a God,
reminder.
It's that we have to get to. And this program will take you there. I guarantee it. God bless everyone. I pass.
Thank you, Christina, from North Carolina. And next up, we have Anne Marie M. from one of the Carolinas, I think. Anne Marie?
This is Anne Marie, and I live in South Carolina. Yes, Rhode Island girl, not a South Carolina girl though. But anyway, Anne Marie, I'm gratefully recovering miraculously through God's grace, and I've gotten a lot out of what people have said so far. I never thought about that being in a place, you know, of maximum service. I always thought of it as literally being in a place, but being in a place in my head to be of maximum service to people. It's also, you know, if I'm not spiritually fit, we read that a few days ago, and if I'm not physically fit, then I don't go. You know, if I'm not feeling any kind of peace, if I'm uneasy, I need to go to God. I need to speak with another person and help. I need that help to decide whether to go or not. And I'm just so grateful for this way of living, this plan of living. And I was, you know, I heard someone talk about, you know, doing the little things like putting the shopping cart away. And for me, I have to add on to that, not be judgmental of the people who don't, because that comes to my mind. How could somebody leave this right here? And, you know, I'm able to stop myself and not go on that roller coaster ride in my head. But I say to myself, you know, maybe that person was really hurting and they were limping and they just couldn't get to put it away. And just shut up and just do it yourself, you know, that kind of thing. And then on the margin of my book, I did put page 77, you know, our primary purpose is to be of maximum service to people, to God and the people about us. And I love that. I love living that way and asking God, truly, what is my will today? You know, I was talking with my sponsor yesterday. I'm finishing 11. I'm just so grateful. I've taken too long. Doing these steps this time, but I've gotten so much out of it. I've just gone so much deeper, and God is so good. But my job is to, you know, be of service to God and to ask, what is your will? What is your will for me today? And I'm grateful. I wrote down that when I was meditating, some people came to mind and I jotted down their names, and I'm going to give them calls today. So I think that's about it. I will keep on the firing line of life with these motives, and God will keep you unharmed. I have found that so true. I'll pass with that. Thanks so much, Nancy.
Thank you, Anne-Marie M. from South Carolina. Now we have Marion H. from Marion. Where are you from? And you have the floor.
Good morning. Thank you, Nancy. This is Marion H. from New Jersey. Recovered compulsive overeater. Wow, your job now is to be at a place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others. And as it's, you know, when I'm 77, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people about us. I'm a compulsive overeater who didn't know that lack of power was my dilemma. I had many gods, and those gods were primarily validation from other people, affirmation, so that I could feel safe and secure. If I didn't have that, it was whatever. So I ate out of garbage cans, you know, whatever it took. I ate in secret. Today, I'm a person who lives with several disabilities. I don't get around, and I do go out to church once a week. My husband drives me to church. So on the way to church, now the thing is, she who loves validation, who loves music, who loves seeing people, and lives in a beautiful place, but if I go in there and I forget that maximum helpfulness, so I say, I have to pause before, on the way, and several times I say, God, help me to be helpful to someone else. Does that mean I have a sign on about program or no? It's just, I'm being who God wants me to be, and help me to be open to be of service. And the same thing works with, you know, I get to go there. I go to physical rehabilitation twice a week, to a place that I really miss, and I'm loved there and beloved, and I love on people there. And it's the same thing. Okay, God, I have no idea. I'm not going to know, help me to be of use, because so many people are hurting, and that hurt for me is separation from a power greater than themselves that is love and healing and compassion. And, you know, I see I'm going to have, this is going to be a family reunion in a few weeks, and I see some pictures, and my heart breaks for, you know, from a tall, skinny family of athletes, and then there's one or two people that are way overweight, and I know they're in the living in the food. And you know what? That, first of all, that's weeks away, so I'm future tripping. When God use me today. God use me today. I am limited, but God will use me, and it's not for me to know how. Thanks for letting me share, and thanks for everybody for being here. I listen every morning and soak it in and try to take notes. Thank you.
Thank you, Marianne H. from North New Jersey. And we're going to hear now from Stephanie R., and then we're going to have time to take some more names. So please be getting ready to press *1 when you're done. Stephanie, please tell us where you're calling from, and you have the floor.
Thank you, Nancy. Hi, this is Stephanie R., and I'm calling from Missouri. I led a very, very selfish life. It was a life just really focused on me and feeling the victim and not really feeling like I was in a position to do anything but be poor, poor me. And with so much gratitude, I'm able to say that's not where I am today. And I do, for so many years in program, picking up that phone was 500 pounds. I didn't want to. And now I find that when I just wake up in the morning, I want to hear a fellow's voice after I do my prayer and meditation. I want to be in conscious contact with my higher power and my fellows. And it gives me the opportunity to be of maximum service to people in program and out of program. I met a neighbor when I was going down to my car yesterday and just happened to ask how she was doing. And she said her cancer was back, and this is probably the second or third time she's told me that answer. And I'm in the medical field, and of course my medical brain went right to, oh my goodness, what's going on? How much longer? And then I had to pause, and the pause gave me the opportunity to just think, how can I be of maximum service to this individual who must be going through so much just inner maybe discomfort or fear? I'm just not sure, but it's not for me to even take on that role of saying how much time she has left. I am no one's higher power. And I just know that how I can be of maximum benefit to her is to just be available, ask if I can do anything to be of service to her, and then step back and ask God, what is my next right move? I'm so grateful that I have this program, because without that, I may be in a total different mindset, trying to go in and fix things that are not my responsibility or not even my capability. So I'm really grateful that I have this clarity today, and I choose to stay in recovery so I can have this clarity every day. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stephanie R. from Missouri. And we do have time for three or four more shorter shares. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Vasa,
Sherry A. Sherry A.
Right. I heard Vasa, Sherry. Maybe
Sarah,
I heard
T.
Other people. Sarah,
Michelle
T.
M. Jen
T.
M.
And
Wendy.
M. Jen. All right, I'm going to cut it off there. Let's see how we do. I have Vasa, Sherry, Sarah T., Michelle, and Jen. And if you're not Vasa, please. It's *1, and Vasa, hopefully that's not your alarm going off.
No, that's not mine. Thank you. Thank you, Nancy,
you
for your
floor.
Service. Yeah, thank you for your service. And I'm Vasa, greatly recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. And I can't even add any more that other people have already shared. It's amazing how this program works for every one of us, if we work it. And yes, maximum of service. I'm one of those people, by nature, I was always a caretaker, you know, whether it's my family or other people, you know, trying to be helpful. But when I was into the food addiction, I wasn't even helping myself, you know. I couldn't even be there for myself any longer.
also for myself, I needed to find a power greater than myself to help me in that area. And I used to think, well, I'm selfish if I'm not helping other people. No, I needed to help myself. I threw myself into the program. It is by the grace of God I was being able to put the food down that I struggled for so long, so many years, and I couldn't. So I needed to find a power greater than myself and then put the food down and have a better clarity to, you know, to work through the steps and how to sponsor people and how I needed to be sponsored as I was going through the program. So to me, it's being maximum of service. I don't have to do it all, you know. I can help others, you know, and keep within my own recovery. My brother, I just found out the other day, my brother's best friend's got cancer. And we grew up together, so I called his wife, and I asked if I'd love to go and see them. And she said, of course. So my brother and I went yesterday. He's lost so much weight. It's just, it's so painful to see. And for me to go through all these kind of things, not going to the food, it's painful. But I am there for them. I was there for my son when he had cancer. I could be there instead of being into the food. Or I could even be dead today. I wouldn't even be there for anybody, not even for myself, if I was not in the program and working the steps and being abstinent. My granddaughter, she had heart surgery. She was 1 or 2 weeks old. For me, I had a candle lighting on my dresser and prayed to God, please let all these people in the hospital, the doctors, guide them over them, you know, not just my granddaughter. So the prayer also works. If I cannot be there physically for people, I can also say a prayer. So I love this vision for you. I'm on it pretty much every single day. If not, I listen to the callback number. I didn't hear the special edition yesterday, but I'm going to listen to it today. And I have a lot of work to
do,
too.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you very much. And, you know, I have family. I have, yeah, thanks, and I pass.
All right, that was Vasa O from Massachusetts. Next, we have Sherry. Sherry, if you can give us the last initial of your name and where you're calling from, you have the floor.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Sherry A. from Ontario. Thanks, everyone, for their service. This paragraph, the second line, you should not hesitate to visit the most sordid spot on earth in such an errand. That line, sordid, or those words, this most sordid spot on earth, it really got me thinking that when God came to find me while I was deep in the food, I was in the most sordid place on earth, you know, in the midst of my binges, in the midst of my purges. It was the most sordid place. And so now that he is in the process of not just freeing me from compulsion in eating, but compulsion in everything, and he is revealing my character defects, and he's revealing my selfish heart and my prideful stance and my feelings of superiority and all the rest of the character defects that I didn't even know were swirling around in the sauce of my mind. When he has freed me, it is a privilege to now go to the most sordid place on earth, instruction at his guidance to help someone else. Because now that I can look at my life and see that that is what he did for me, it takes away my natural judgmental nature. It takes away my natural penchant to criticize or to be critical. It is such an absolute freeing thought to think that he came to the most sordid place on earth to find me. It's humbling. It's humbling. And so it doesn't put me in a position of superior, when I think to myself, okay, God wants me to help X and Y in such and such a place. Nah, because he came there to find me. So if I'm going there to find someone else, I'm going to exactly where I was. You know, I'm not above anyone in any way, shape, or form. And so I'm just grateful. Even though and one more thing, I think I may have like 30 seconds left. I'll say this. I used to think that I was so helpful. Oh, my goodness. I used to think that I was the most helpful person, you know, and I'm always looking out for that person at the cashier. If they need an extra $5 to pay their bill, I'll tap my card. And I'm slowly learning that, I mean, sure, it was helpful for them. But what was my motive? What was in my heart? Thank you so much for the reminder. And, I'll end with that. I pass. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Sherry A. from Canada. And we've got three people left, and we have 5 minutes. So if each of you could be mindful of the time. Sarah T., you're up. Where are you calling from, Sarah?
Thanks. Thanks so much. My name is Sarah T. I'm calling from Louisville, Kentucky. Really grateful for this meeting. I'll try to be brief. I am recovered compulsive overeater for today. What was coming to mind with the maximum service is that I have a disease that wants to see what I can get away with and call it abstinence. Like, if I'm not connected with God, it's like, you know, what can I get away with and call it service, you know? And so, and I'm also reminded that my capacity for maximum changes every day. And I, in this program, my higher power has given me incredible miracles and incredible challenges in equal measure. And my maximum changes every day. And my ego wants to be a superstar. But, you know, I had an experience yesterday where trying to perform my chosen service, and I just, because of a health challenge I have right now, wasn't able to do that. And, but it still worked. Like, I was still of service. And my higher power reminded me that it's not about my ego and getting a pat on the head for being a good girl and being of service, that I still was of use to my higher power and I was still willing. I was maximally willing. Does that make sense? So that's mostly what I wanted to say. And I just wanted to also say that my higher power is giving me the opportunity to travel internationally twice in the next 4 months. And I'm really nervous, and I appreciate people talking about being willing to go to any lengths to call fellows and stay, you know, to stay in the middle. And I wanted to talk more about that, but I'll pass for now. Thanks.
Thank you, Sarah T. from Kentucky. And next up we have Michelle, and followed by Jen. And if each of you could take a minute and a half, we can get both of you in. Michelle, you have the floor.
Hi, good morning. This is Michelle. I'm recovered in Oklahoma, and this has been a tremendous meeting. And for me today, I can look at the firing line of life and think of, you know, earthquakes and tornadoes and huge things of chaos that require laser focus and adrenaline. But the firing line for life for me today is the pebble in my shoe. It's the person who is texting at the stoplight. It's those little things that keep me really having to change on a daily basis. And the most sordid place on earth is the fear in my head. And I am very cognizant of that. And I'm doing a 4-step now, and I'm so much is being revealed about that. I had a fear about a flood from I caused damage. The woman that owns the condominium is known for being not very kind. My sponsor said, it's no big deal. It's Mother's Day. Get her some flowers. Assure her that you're going to take care of it. So my fear and that act of service, I have a new friend.
Gentle reminder.
And so I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle M. Sorry to cut it close here, but let's hear from Jen. Jen, where are you calling from? And you take us out with a minute.
Okay, I'm Jen M., calling from Ontario, Canada.
Thank you for this meeting and all your service. I'm really noticing that part of the paragraph that says keep on the firing line of life as well. I'm noticing that it's very vivid language and it's a very strong line to hold. I think it's about surrender in a life and death circumstance. And this disease is a life or death situation, like being on a firing line. In such a situation, I have to surrender to God. And as I've learned to do from the beginning, and it says that I'm to put myself in the place where I can be of maximum helpfulness to others. Well, that's where others are in their life or death situation. Meeting others where they are in that life or death situation, where it leads them, and me having the humility to know that I'm not above any place or any situation that someone else's disease has brought them to. And then it assures me that God will keep me unharmed when working with others. And I don't know, I'm just so grateful for this paragraph this morning and for this meeting. And with that, I'll pass.
Okay, you. Thank you, Jen, for taking this out. And thank everyone who shared today. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today's meeting that we're just concluding now for Monday, June 9th, 2025, is 22,506. That's 22506. And now we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Nancy, please, SCP, please read a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Nancy, please read.
Hey, good morning, Nancy. I usually say Nancy's have to stick together, but now I'm having second thoughts. our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.